I am 6'11". I have found over time, let's just go ahead and get that out of the way, okay? Otherwise, you're going to sit there and go, how tall is that man, right? 6'11", and I also did play basketball, which he did tell you about earlier. Am I doing that? Here we go. There's no place like home when you've got all these things happening here. So tonight I do have an apology. I left my sermon that I was going to preach for you on my desk in Lancaster. So I'm going to re-preach the one this morning. If for some reason, like I already have heard, someone has heard part of that sermon, I apologize, but I will tell you what James Ferris said. Just tell them that they're hard-headed and they need to hear it twice. So that's James, not me. But let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. We'll be looking at 1 through 9 instead of 10 and following. Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Let us pray before we read God's word. Father, we are thankful that you did not leave us ignorant or blind, but you have given us light in your word, a light that reveals our sin, reveals our sinful nature, but also reveals Christ, the answer, Christ, our Redeemer, Christ, the lover of our souls, Christ who has given us not just salvation, but the light to know how to live as a saved people, and given us light to know the hope that is ours forever and ever in Christ. Father, help us tonight as we come before your word. May our hearts be right and ready. May our minds be nimble, that we might hear your word, that your spirit would be poured out upon us, and that your spirit and your word would work together to edify your people and call the lost sinners to Christ and to salvation. Father, may this be blessed by you this time. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 15 of Matthew, begin with verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen." Habits are a great thing to have. I've been reading a book called Atomic Habits. David Murray up at Puritan Reform, part of his blog, he's talked about this book. And so I've been thinking about habits. And you know, habits are wonderful things. We only have so much decision willpower, right? To make. This is why people wear the same outfit all the time. They don't want to even decide what to wear. They're saving that energy. And habits help us do that. Brushing and flossing your teeth, cleaning and picking up, hanging up your clothes. All right, I'm seeing if y'all are going to amen. This is where the women should amen, right? Yes, pick up your clothes. This is where we exercise. Exercise becomes a habit. And these are great habits to start. And we can, once we get them going with little willpower, with little thought, it's a very good thing because it keeps us doing good things. But we cannot turn our Christianity into a mere habit. You need to have the habit of coming on the Lord's Day to worship. You need to have the habit of faithful stewardship of your time and your finances to God. You need to have a faithful habit of prayer, of reading the scriptures, of family worship. But unlike brushing your teeth or picking up, these should not be mindless habits. They must be more than an outward movement. It's okay not to get why it's important to brush your teeth. You just do it. You get the benefit from it. You don't have to know that your brush was approved by so many 4 out of 5 dentists, right? You don't have to know that your toothpaste does certain things in your mouth. You just have to do it, and you get the advantage of it. But you need to understand the importance of religious things and religious actions. You cannot be mindless here, because there's a danger if you're mindless. There's a danger on Christians who are just on cruise control. We have to be careful. We have to walk circumspect. We have to pay attention to our lives. We drove up here. It took us about 12 hours from our house in Lancaster to get to James and Elizabeth's house there in Indiana. There was a couple times I tried to put it on cruise control. And what I found in the mountains of West Virginia, that wasn't a smart thing to do. There was too many curves, there was too many cars, there were too many things. I could not relax. I had to drive and pay attention. The Christian life is the same way. We have to pay attention. We cannot be mindless. We cannot be on cruise control. There's a danger in that. And this is also true of our traditions. And all churches have them. You know, you don't have to be an old, old church to have traditions. I found the case to be that often what is considered an old tradition isn't all that old. I was in my first church, and I had a lady come to me and said, "Well, this is how we've always done it." And I said, "No, it's not. I was here when you started it. This is not how you've always done it." So you have to be careful with your traditions. There's a real danger that our traditions, we turn our traditions into our religion, rather than having the Word as the foundation. We focus on the outward aspects of the church over the inward knowledge of God. Our habits become the most important driver of our religious life. You know, we're busy, right? We're living in a busy age. I was talking to Adam about just how busy we are. And children going here, children going there, our work, our hobbies, everything that we have, we're busy. And sometimes we get so busy, you know, we'll read our Bible and we'll pray, but it's not so much that we're doing it intentionally or really focusing on it. We're really just doing it to put the check in the box, aren't we, and go on to the next thing. We have to be careful. We don't need to be on cruise control. We need to walk circumspect. We need to not be mindless, especially with our habits and our traditions. Let's think about traditions for a minute. I'm laughing because the Pharisees they've heard part of this sermon already, and so they already know this is coming, so I'm just going to pick on them. You know, think about the traditions of the church. How many of you sit in the same place every Sunday? Right? That's a tradition, right? Some of you, you know, and you know, I don't know how old this church is, but probably it really is a habit, but in some places it's a tradition. Maybe, you know, this could be the McCracken pew right here, right? Or this is the Martin pew. Or maybe my family who's sitting in the Ferris pew right now, right? You know, we have to think about our traditions. What does it say? What do we do? Do these things get in the way? Does it get in the way of people, new people? I've actually served in a church. I have an elder and his wife, and they first visited our church. They were told they were sitting in somebody's pew and they needed to leave. My response was, "Why did you come back?" I mean, you see where we can be, you know, we're supposed to be open and friendly with people coming in, right? Not tell them to get out of our seat. What about, you know, I don't know how it is on Sunday morning, but as good RPs or good ARPs would be, do you start at the back and feel your way forward? so that if any visitor comes in, they have to walk past everybody to the front? You know, think about these things. You know, our traditions, they can be, have an impact. We don't need to be mindless. Another tradition, and this is one I killed at our church, they would do the rose. Have you seen where like a baby was born? They'll put a rose somewhere in the this is not y'all, this is us, okay? I've killed this. But anyway, they would have this rose, and it would be there. It was a red rose, because I was told after the service this morning that one of the Gerstner, I think, or Murray, they had a white rose in the church, and that was to symbolize the purity of the baby. And of course, that's not us either, right? I mean, but we, you know. But this red rose, it's one of those things that can be. I think people mean well, but it goes awry, and it can take away from what we're supposed to be doing in the church. Many of these habits and traditions can be neutral, and even in some cases, they're helpful. I know as a pastor, I kind of like everybody sitting in the same place. That way I know who to look at and know who not to look at, right? I've got some lovely Christian people, but they look like, you know, if you look at them while you're preaching, you know, they're not real encouraging because they have that look of, you know, they don't really feel that way. But so, and then you also know that sometimes when you're wondering if you're doing okay, you can look at somebody and you get a smile or a nod and you can tell they're paying attention. That sort of pushes us on in the sermon. So habits and traditions can be neutral and even helpful. But there's always a danger that our traditions and habits can cross the line and become equal to or greater than the Word of God in our practice and in our life. Now, as we look here at Matthew 15, we see that Jesus is attacked over these traditions. Now, think about what Jesus has just done. Jesus has fed the thousands. He's walked on water. He has healed many, okay? And now the jealous Pharisees and scribes, they're trying to attack him. They're trying to stem Jesus' fame and influence, and they bring a really weak charge. Your followers do not wash their hands. This was about the traditions of men. Now, it's a good thing to wash your hands, right? We tell our children, don't go home and say, well, the pastor was talking about, you know, they were charging him for washing their hands. Why do I have to wash my hands before supper? Well, it's not about washing your hands. It's not about the cleanliness. It was a religious thing. It was a religious rite. They had elevated this to be a part of the religion. And they were motivated. Their motivation was to get at Jesus, to slow down his fame, protect their position. He may heal and feed and walk on water, but let's focus on his disciples who break the traditions of the elders by not washing their hands. Now, do you have people like this in your life? People that want to tear down the high points of victory, to tear down and pull you down? Now, I've got to ask this question, too. No one has the games from last night recorded, right? Does anybody have their games recorded last night? Because I'm about to tell you who won, and I was told after the service this morning, I had it recorded and I haven't watched it yet, so I kind of ruined it for somebody. So this is a public service announcement that if you don't want to hear the who won, put your ears in until I do this. Okay. So tomorrow, Texas Tech and Virginia will square off for the national championship, and there'll be a winner. But you know, even with these teams that win, there'll be some of their fans who will still criticize the coach. Well, we could have done better. You won the national championship. You know, you'll have some people who, if Virginia wins, they'll come out and they'll say, well, we won the national championship, but we still got beat in the first round last year as the number one seed. That's just too embarrassing. You've got people. And this is what the Pharisees are doing. They're attacking. They're pulling down. We see it in our churches sometimes. Especially when a church grows and new people come in. I don't like all these new people in my church. They do not look like us. They don't dress like us. They don't act like RPs at all. Well, duh, they're not. They're out of the world. They might not have any, they might even not act like Baptists, right? Because they're coming out of the world of sin and they don't know anything. What a blessing it is when the church grows. We see the motivation here with Jesus was a threat. It was a threat to the Pharisees and the scribes. All right, there's some water here. This is a low pulpit, I'm telling you what. Sorry. The motivation was a threat. It was a threat to the Pharisees, to their honor and their position. They use their tradition. They're trying to find some place to attack Jesus. And here we see the danger. They raise that tradition to an authority that it should not have. We need to see these attacks. We need to be careful and be aware when our tradition and our habits are starting to overcome the Word of God and the influence and the power and the direction of God's Word. And we should not give them credence. We should not fall into this type of thinking. We should never put the outward duties above the inward duties, because Christianity is a religion of the heart. It does not, if it does not flow out of the heart, a heart changed by Christ, but changed by His gospel, changed by His word, if it doesn't flow out of a new heart, then all the works we do are just dead works. All the washing, kneelings, bowing do not make you holy. It's only Christ. And it's only obedience to the Word flowing from a gospel-changed heart that God wants us to have. Now, J.C. Ryle says there's a great danger to adding to the commandments of God. We know that, but it's easy to slip into it. And we see Jesus attack them for this. In attacking Jesus, they left themselves vulnerable to an attack themselves. And this is not a minor point of tradition. Jesus is saying, you're violating the fifth commandment. And this is a very serious charge that Jesus lays on them. They were using their tradition to not care for their parents. Ryle says that there is an inherent tendency in all traditions to make the Word of God of none effect. David Dixon says, such as are most zealous for human tradition shall readily be found transgressors and condemners of divine commands and God's tradition given by Scripture. And this is exactly what they did. They used their tradition to ignore the Scriptures. Martin Bucer says that a man is rarely to be found who pays an excessive attention to human inventions in religion who does not put more trust in them than in the grace of God. There's a danger trusting our habits and traditions. And this is a danger for all men. It's a danger for the ARP. It's a danger for the RPs. We cannot put above Scripture our own tradition, programs, and plans. For us to be a healthy church, we must be driven by Scripture. We must have as our foundation Scripture. We must have as our guide Scripture. But it's so easy sometimes to lean on tradition, to lean on the way we've done it, and not always be testing the things that we're doing in our life, in our church, in our family, by the Word of God. We need to be careful. And let me say this, because I think there's a danger here. Because we as good Reformed folks, when we start to hear tradition and the dangers of tradition, and we start to apply tradition, we are really quick to start running towards the Roman Catholics. And we're starting to say, yes, those Roman Catholics, they are all tied up in their tradition. And we set up a straw man to beat up. That's not what we're doing tonight. Focus on ourselves. Focus on our traditions. Focus on our habits. Don't just sort of beat up on the Catholics to make yourself feel better. Apply God's Word to your life. Jesus takes it seriously, the sin of the Pharisees and the scribes. I had a pastor friend who was going preparing a funeral, and he, you know, we pastors get together and talk. We talk on the phone. I talk to James. I talk to David. I talk to a lot of RP pastors, a lot of ARP pastors, and we have to vent sometimes. And my friend was venting to me about he was preparing for a funeral in which the children of this man had completely and totally not cared for him. An aunt and a neighbor had cared for him for years, and even in these last stages of life, he was cared for not by the children. They called them and said, "Your dad is dying. You need to come." And they're like, "No, we're good. We're not coming." And my friend, he didn't know I was preaching on this, he started talking about, you know, this is where Jesus gets really upset. You see Jesus upset when people aren't taking care of their parents, where they're violating the fifth commandment. We see it in Scripture. And here Jesus is pretty pointed, is he not? And coming back at the scribes and the Pharisees. For they are undermining the clear word of the Lord. They're using their traditions to go around the commandments of God. Pay the Pharisees and scribes some money. You don't have to take care of your parents. Forget the fifth commandment. You're free from your responsibility. Where the word of God is very clear. Honor your father and your mother. If you revile your father or your mother, it's worthy of death. Dixon said, "Such traditions as directly or by consequence do prejudice the true intent of any of God's law, whatsoever pretense of religion be made, are wicked." This is wickedness, to take tradition, to circumvent the word of God. We need to open our hearts. You need to open your hearts and pray. Ask the Lord to show you where your tradition, your culture, are standing before, standing above the Word of God and what it commands. See the danger. Don't look at others, but look at yourself. Look at your family. Look at your church. And make sure you're standing and being directed and guided by the Word of God. The third thing we see, make sure that you're on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. He uses the word hypocrite here. And, you know, on some level, we're all hypocrites, right? We're open to that charge because, you know, we are a redeemed people who still sin. We still struggle. We still wrestle. And we're not all that we aspire to be in Christ. We're not all that God calls us to be. And there's a sort of normal bounds of that. The church is full of forgiven sinners fighting the war against sin. But Jesus, however, is talking about something very completely different here. These men, these leaders, are hypocrites. This is in the truest sense. They claim to teach the way to God, but they actually only teach the way of men to go around the Word of God. They are not at all what they claim to be. When I was a little boy, this is back when $20 was actually more than it is today, I got $20 for helping around the farm we grew up on. And so there was a gun show in Greenville. My father was a policeman in Greenville, and he worked it, so we got in free, probably why we went. And I was so excited because I was a gun nut when I was a little kid. And so, now I wasn't going to buy a gun at 12, don't get me wrong here, nor with $20, but I went around and I looked at everything. And as I was going around, I came upon a beautiful handle of a knife, and it was a knife, a straight knife in a sheath. And I was like, "Oh, this is really neat." And I picked it up and I said, "Sir, how much is this?" And I got this funny look from the guy. And he said, "Open it." And so I unclasped it, pulled out the knife, and about halfway down it was broken. It was missing the tip. It looked really good on the outside, but it was broken on the inside. This can be an issue for us. We can look great on the outside. We can have it all seemingly right. We can look the right way, talk the right way, dress the right way. We can be the epitome of our tradition, yet miss the kingdom of God completely. Because the kingdom of God is about the hearts of God's people. This does not mean that the outside is unimportant. God cares about your actions. But God is not bringing us here tonight that I might impart some behavioral modification for the sake of changing your behavior. What we're here about tonight is dealing with a new heart. sinners being given a new heart by the gospel, by the Spirit, by Christ. And by we who are saved being transformed over and over again by the Spirit and the Word of God working together in our life. For it to be real, for it to be truly Christian, it has to come from a heart that knows Christ. Or else you wind up being what Isaiah says. This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You draw close with your lips, but the heart is far from you. Maybe today that is you. You have sung and confessed. You've gone through the outward motions. But is your heart far away from God, or has it been drawn close to God? There are many who sit in the pew who are no closer to heaven than anyone else in the world. I'm not trying to scare people, but it's just an honest fact. We need to be aware. We need to walk circumspect. We need not to be mindless in our religious activities. An example of this that I thought through in my life with the Lord's Supper and how people deal with it. In our church, one of my churches, when I first started, I didn't know, and I picked out a closing song after our communion, and I was told, that's not the song we sing after communion. You know, another time I was talking to someone, and in that tradition, we would cover with a white cloth the communion table. I think they do that in Indiana at Second Reformed. I don't know if y'all do that or not. I don't know your tradition, but it doesn't matter. But what this person was telling me is the feeling they got when the elders would come forward and they would take off and fold the cloth. And it was all about the outward tradition, the outward, you know, ceremony. And then another time, the then treasurer of my church, he came to me after one of my first communions in Lancaster. And I can be, you know, as I tell people, and I'm sorry, I'm a little tired tonight, but as I tell people, you know, sometimes the Lord knew what he was doing in the fact that he made me 7 foot tall so it protects me from getting beat up, okay? Because sometimes I can be a little sharp. And this treasurer came to me and he said, you know, when we have communion, you should preach a shorter sermon, kind of a sermonette. And I was like, what? Why? Well, you know, it just takes so long to do communion. You need to preach about 10 minutes and just do that. To which I famously now in my church said, well, you know, we don't lock the door. If you have something better to do on the Lord's day, you can leave anytime you want. That came across a little bit more, maybe a little more sharper than I meant to, but the point was made. And what's sad here, and bringing it back to what we're talking about, is that as we talk about communion, this is a place where we're coming close, right, to the Lord. You know, we're holding the elements. We've heard the gospel. We're surrounded by the Word. We've been surrounded by prayer. And if we're doing that, just going through the motions, looking the part, you miss it. You miss the whole thing. And it's easy to do. And it's sad. And I'm not sure that this church, and you know your sister churches, like we know that people who've been in church all their life, one day just wake up and it's like, I don't believe. Never really believed it. And yet they've held the elements and taken the elements. They've sung, they've prayed, they've worked. But yet they were never there. It was just a tradition and a habit. So today or tonight, we want to make sure that it's not just a tradition, not just a habit, but it is a living, true faith grounded and rooted in Christ and His Word. You know, we have to do this. I got a lot of flack one time. We hosted Presbytery. And I've got some of the guys in Presbytery. It's like, why do you fence the table? Yeah, I know you're going to fence the table when you get there. Of course I'm going to fence the table. That's what we're doing. But it's all ministers and elders. Why would we need to? It's a Presbytery meeting. Everybody there is a Christian. Well, when I did the actual service, I gave two illustrations. One was from Ebenezer Erskine. Ebenezer Erskine is one of the founders of the Associate Reform or Associate Church in Scotland, Erskine College. This is our color. Erskine College is named for him. But if you know his story, he was ordained in the Church of Scotland and was not a believer. His wife, Alison Erskine, and his brother, Ralph Erskine, prayed for him. And he was converted as a minister of the gospel. And then there's a dear friend of mine who's passed on to glory now, Jim Dixon, a former moderator of our synod. Jim Dixon was a true Southern gentleman, a lawyer, a well-respected man within his church, sang in the choir with an elder, was held up as an illustration of what you should aspire to be as a Christian. Yet, even though he held that position and that he held that kind of reputation within his congregation, one night, a Sunday night, he was sitting in the choir. And a young girl from a Baptist college, a choir was there singing a little bit. And this little girl gave her testimony. And right there in the choir loft, this man with such a reputation, this elder, found Jesus for the first time. It had always been a tradition. It had always been a habit. So as we conclude tonight, a couple weeks ago, A friend of mine, back in December, took a picture of an old Model A car he saw somewhere. And it was Christmas because it had a Santa Claus sitting in it. I don't know what that has to do with anything. But he made an important statement as he posted this on Facebook. He said, "I don't know if it works." And he's right. You know, to look at something from the outside, you don't know if it works. You know, if that Model A is going to work, what do we have to do? We have to go get some gas, put it in the tank, get the keys, turn the keys, right? And if it cranks, let's see if the transmission works. Put it in gear and see if it goes. Well, our Christian life's a lot like that, isn't it? If we don't really look at the inside, if we don't put it to the test, if we don't put the word of the Lord in our life and see and trust the Lord and let Him show His goodness to us, if we're not really alive, then we're probably in trouble. We're just giving lip service to God. And that is bad. If the only reason you're here is tradition or habit, that's horrible. So, it's time for us to look in our spiritual mirror, to take the Word of God and examine our hearts, examine our actions, examine our habits, examine our traditions, and make sure that they are not something other than the Word of God, that we're not just coming and giving lip service, we're not just following our usual routine, but we're coming full knowledge of why we are here, because Christ has saved us and Christ has redeemed us and Christ has called us into a new life, a life to be led with Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come tonight and I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for their pastor. And Father, I pray that You would help them to address this issue. Father, so many of our churches have a culture of Christianity, especially in the South, we see this cultural Christianity that can easily just be an outward tradition and habit. And no doubt we see it in the North as well. So, Father, I pray that You would help each of us to examine our own hearts, examine our traditions, to examine our habits, and make sure that they are flowing from a new heart given by Christ. Make sure that they are in line with the Scriptures. And make sure that we are alive to Christ with a new heart. And that we're not just simply going through the motions. Bless us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.